What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Gray Area Podcast. This podcast will serve as a platform for all opinions, ideas, problems, and solutions. Feel free to individually acknowledge specific conversations, positions, problems, and ideas that pertain specifically to you, your family, your community, and more, as long as it's done with respect. I am your host, Drew, aka Drew Breeze, and I want to talk to you. This podcast, entitled The Gray Area, represents the conversations we have at the dinner table, the barbershop, the beauty salons, the trap house, the church, even on the personal phone conversations, and so much more. We can't get to the solution of a problem if we're never willing to have the conversation. This is The Gray Area. All right, we on. So, welcome to the Gray Area Podcast, where the conversations influence the culture and everywhere around it. Today we have a special guest. You got a rap name?
Man, I'm just Josh, man.
Just Josh.
Yeah, Josh, little right. Josh, young Josh. It don't matter. Josh. I'm Josh, man.
Josh been rapping since the time of umbilical days.
Yes, sir.
Lyrical ways.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, but special guest here, Josh from Cleveland. He's got a an album out that's very influential, speaking a lot to his circumstance, speaking a lot to what he's been around, very strong-minded conversations in that, and I loved it, so I thought it was best to bring him on. So welcome to the Gray Area, bro.
Man, it's an honor and a pleasure, man. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
When did you start rapping?
Man, I know a lot of people be saying, you know, since I was 3 and since I was 2 and since I came out, but in all honesty, man, I say about 8 years old is when I wrote my first rap.
Okay.
Yeah, 8 years old.
You remember what it was?
Man, I remember it was vulgar, man. I remember it all the way, but I remember it was kind of vulgar to be 8 years old.
Yeah.
You ought to get my ass beat for that, man.
Hey, long as you know.
Yeah.
But what kept you going?
Man, a love and a passion, man. First of all, my story start, man. I'm from the east side of Cleveland, born and raised, Huff to be exact.
We in the hood, everybody, so.
For sure.
It's going to be bikes. You might hear a couple gunshots. You know, still in the beginning stage of this thing, so
yeah,
bear with us.
Yeah, we good, though, man. A gray area, this what it is, man. But, man, I was influenced by the people from my neighborhood, man, the Cleveland City Crooks, man. But before they became the Cleveland City Crooks, they was called CIA. It stood for Criminals in Action, man. And I actually knew them dudes, you know what I'm saying? The side streets off Huff, it was this one street, it was called Crawford. So a lot of them guys, it was a little clique back then. It was called the Homicide Clique. And the main guy, the group, he passed away, man, unfortunately, man. 21 years old, 1997. He was shot, you know, breaking up a fight. His name was Dayrome Anderson, but we called him Dead Wrong. So those were the people that
You're
influenced
called
me.
Dead Wrong?
Dead Wrong. That was his name.
All right. Yeah. I feel it.
Yeah.
I feel it. So today, you got one album?
Man, if you really want to be honest, I have, I would say, about 5 to 6. But just rebirthing myself and restart, and I would say, yeah, this is my first album. It's like my introduction into the game all over again.
Facts. And it's called
The Opposite of a Lie.
Opposite of a Lie. That title was dope.
Yeah.
But before we get into The Opposite of a Lie, we was having a conversation. You was telling me about all these people, these huge names.
Yeah.
That, you know, really set the tone for some monumental things to happen in the rap game right now.
Right.
And I mean, but they wasn't from here. You was telling me about Chamillionaire.
Yeah.
You know, some of these big time hitters from Houston.
Yeah.
How you do that? How we get to knowing those people?
Oh, you mean how did my affiliations with them come about?
Yeah.
All right, man. So I'm going to try to make a long story short, man. In a nutshell, man, I'm just influenced by everywhere. One thing that I like about being from Cleveland is, you know, by me being from the Midwest, I can listen to, you know, Crucial Conflict. I can listen to Do or Die. I can listen to Nelly, mm-hmm. Kanye West. Of course, the legendary, the heroes of the city, Bone Thugs and Harmony. Then I can go right to the West Coast. I can go listen to Kendrick. I can listen to The Game. I can listen to Nipsey.
Yeah.
You know, then I can go to the East Coast. I can listen to Jay, Nas, R.P. Nipsey for sure. Yeah. R.P. Nipsey for sure. And Jay, Nas, Biggie. And then go down south and, you know, T.I., Ross, Jeezy, like you said, Chamillionaire and them. So with that being said, this is how it happened with the whole Houston thing. I was a big, still am, I was a real big
A lot of your album was recorded or mixed in Houston.
I recorded it, got it mixed in, got it engineered in Houston. And this is how all of that started. So back when the Chopped and Screwed music was really, really big, that was like early two. It was big before when it made it to Cleveland. That's my dude, you know. When they made it to Cleveland, this was about 2001, 2002.
Okay.
So this guy, he used to have this store on the west side, on West 32nd and Clark. It was called Hotspot. His name is Chaos. Chaos used to have all those dudes come to his store. So I used to always just go there and buy my music. And one day Chaos was like, man, you always coming up here buying music. Where you from? I'm like, I'm from the east side. He like, what part? I'm like, I'm from Huff. He like, you come all the way over here just to get the music? I said, yeah. He said, why you do that? I said, because I don't like the bootlegs, man. You know what I'm saying? I love these dudes. I want to support these dudes. And I like looking in the album covers. You know, I like looking at the album credits and things of that nature. So, you know, it's important for me to get that because I want to support them. He like, man, I like that, man. You know, you seem like you got a real good head on your shoulders. He said, you know, they be coming to my store. So the next time one of them come, I'm going to call you. Give me your number. And he was a man of his word, man. This was 2006. I had ran into a lot of them, but the one that he really called me for, Magno, Magnificent. He was in the first round draft picks with Mike Jones. He ended up coming to the store. So he called me to the store, and I came up there, and I rapped for Magno. Magno gave me his number. We exchanged numbers. And I didn't want to bother them or nothing like that, but I was a kid back then. I was 18, 19 years old. I was so excited. And I ended up calling Magno one day. One day I called Magno. They was actually down there at Chameleonaire's video shoot for Turn It Up. That was off his first single, off the Sound of Revenge album. I'm going to show you how to get your shine on. It was at that video shoot. And he said, he was like, hey, man, you got to excuse me. You know, I'm down here with Mike Frost and I'm down here with Chameleon and we at the video shoot. And I was like, Mike Frost, I know that name. You know, I know that name. And then when I, you know, my research, that's the guy that used to do all the album covers. So I was like, hey, man, I don't know if this is inappropriate to ask or not, but do you think I can talk to Mike Frost? He said, yeah, no problem. I got on the phone. I told Mike Frost who I was, where I was from and how I was a fan of his work. I said, one day, man, I want to work with you. He was like, OK, well, take my number down. So this was in 2005, 2006. So periodically, I would just keep calling him and keep texting him, and we would just have regular conversations. I just don't want to come off like I'm bugging nobody. Right. Even though I'm excited, I don't get in fan mode, I still be a human.
But don't that put you in position?
Yes
you
and
know,
no.
You know, the squeaky nail get the oil.
Yes and no. Yes and no, because you know? Sometimes, to me, man, my
especially if you got something that need to be heard. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, like, if you got something, you know, somebody's like, that need to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're trying to take it to somebody who can make sure it's heard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how many times I'm bugging you.
Mm-hmm.
If you just listen to it, you're going to see it need to be heard.
Sometimes.
What's the way to see or acknowledge that your music, you know, whatever you're doing is hot and you need to get it in the hands. You need to get it in the ears of other people.
That's a good question. The ways of the world has changed now, so it's a little different now. I think it's about followers. I think it's about your social media presence now. But back then when I was doing it, you know, and that's still what it is. You know, this game is not about what you know. It's about who you know. So by me speaking with Magno and then I end up speaking to Mike Frost, I finally took a trip down to Houston in 2014. I just went down there and I was like, hey, do you think if I come down here, we can sit down and we can talk? And he was like, yeah, you know, I met him at the Galleria. They call it the Gallo. That's one of the biggest malls down in Houston. Slim Thug, everybody be talking about the Gallo. So we literally sat there, man, for hours and hours and hours just talking about music. And he was very impressed with my knowledge of Houston culture. And with that being said, he was like, man, I think you need to meet G-Dash. Now, for those who don't know, G-Dash is the CEO of the Swisher House. Him and Michael Watts own the Swisher House. So he called him right there on the phone. He said, hey, man, I got this guy from Cleveland. His name is Josh. Man, I really think that you need to meet him. And he was like, man, tell him to come to the Swisher House. So I was like, okay. You know, I was nervous, man, you know, and I ended up going there. And actually what happened was I was waiting on him to call me. I was in my hotel room, man. I was down in this hotel. It's called the Magnolia. And I was down there and I was waiting for him to call me. And, you know, I'm nervous and I'm pacing and I'm anxious. I'm like, oh, man, he ain't going to call. Next thing I know, my phone rung from a 281 number. I'm like, this got to be him. This is a Houston area call, and it was him. He gave me the address to the Swisher House. And when I got there, Michael Watts was there. Paul Wall was there. Lil Kiki was there. Young Red from the old Sucker Free days, he was there. But he was with the Swisher House as well. So I walk in there, and I'm in front of all these people, man. And I'm nervous. They had me freestyling, and they asking me questions about the culture and things of that nature. And by the end of that conversation, man, I had made a contact with G-Dash. And we just kept talking, and we just kept texting. And that's how my relationship started.
You still in contact with them?
That's my homeboy, yeah. Matter of fact, I'm actually got some things that I'm working on right now. It's this legendary producer out of Houston. He's matter of fact, we just said Nipsey's name. So obviously you familiar with the Victory Lap record, right?
Fire.
Man, that was one of the most amazing bodies of work. But one of the most prolific records off that album, one of the records that's well known and well talked about, is called Blue Laces 2. That's produced by this legendary producer. His name is Mr. Lee. He's from Houston.
Okay.
I just linked up with Mr. Lee. So me and Mr. Lee supposed to be having something in the works right now.
Bet.
Yeah.
Man, we got somebody right now in Cleveland who just produced for Young Dolph.
I know you're talking about. You talking about Sosa 808?
I don't know if it's Sosa 808. I got to look at Junkie. Junkie something. I have to look at it, but I just saw it just produced for Young Dolph. Cleveland got a lot of fire right now.
It's a lot of amazing talent in the city. But the one thing that I dislike about the city, man, and I know you got to be politically correct and things of that nature, but I just don't like the arrogance of a lot of the people that's in our city. You know, we supposed to support one another, man, and, you know, each one teach one. And we all trying to get to the same goal. You know, that's why it's an honor and a privilege. An honor and a privilege for me to be on this podcast right now. I believe in my heart that the Gray Area is the next Breakfast Club. The Gray Area will be on Revolt TV, but it has to start right here. You know, I can't just look at the Breakfast Club, and that's no disrespect to none of these podcasts. $1 Million Worth of Game, Joe Button's podcast. It's a lot of great podcasts out here, the Drink Champs. It's a lot of great podcasts out here, but you have to support home. And that's the one thing that I dislike about our city.
Why you think Cleveland is such a crabs in a barrel type city?
Honestly, man, I hate
Because we was talking about before we started recording, we was talking about Pooh Gutta, and we was talking about, you know, Royalty Camp back then when, I mean, Chip, yeah, Outfast, all of them, they was pulling each other up.
Yeah.
But it seemed like somewhere after 2007, 2008,
mm-hmm,
anybody who was doing something, you know, it was like, man, you on your own. I'm trying to get my own bag.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't see where I can help you out with this. I gotta focus on me. And to a degree, I get to focus on me, but then it's like, but how much more could we show because everybody in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Everybody in Atlanta, they like, are you doing that? Let's hop on this. Let's do that. Yeah. Let's pull it together. Matter of fact, when I was getting the concept of this whole podcast, I was in Atlanta.
Right.
And I just saw so much of everybody just like, let me help you with this, let me help you with that, let me help you, you know, let me help you get it. And it don't matter if you make it out there, here we gonna treat you like gold.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, 2 Chainz, he ain't doing as much.
Mm-hmm.
They know him there. Matter of fact, Young Dro, they talk about Dro out there like he's still on top of the charts.
Right.
That's there.
Right.
We don't hear nothing from Dro over here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But they still treat him like he out there.
Right.
Down there. But here,
yeah,
with all the talent. Matter of fact, my pops, he's really big in you know, gospel music and all of that stuff. So he knows a couple of legends that, you know, that have done it. And a lot of the times they talked about, you know, if they were ever to restart shop and do things like that,
mm-hmm,
a lot of them will come back here because the talent, the gifts, the skill set in Cleveland is at an all-time high. It's just we the ones that don't know it. We the ones that don't realize it.
Well, I hate to say it like this, man, but it's so many people that's from Cleveland that is on and is doing big things, but for whatever reason,
I just found out the baby from Cleveland.
The baby is from Cleveland.
I just found that out.
The baby is from Cleveland. He moved to North Carolina when he was 9 years old.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you something real good. Now, I'm going to give you an exclusive. This is probably not no exclusive, but you said you just found that out.
Yeah.
Now, they really going to be shocked when they know this. Guess who's also from Cleveland? And I'm not trying to glorify this because some people might be like, oh, he was a drug dealer and he did this and he did that. But one of the most famous world-renowned street dudes in the world is from Cleveland, Ohio. Big Meech.
Big Meech.
Big Meech is from Cleveland, Ohio.
I did hear that.
That's a fact. That's in a book. I actually got that book, and you can read it yourself. It's the Black Mafia story. Big Meech was born in Cleveland, Ohio, but his brother name is Terry, Southwest T. Their father wanted to get into the music industry. So at the time, what was popping? Motown. The father wanted to sign with Motown, and they moved up to Detroit. And Southwest T was born in Detroit, but Big Meech was born here in Cleveland, Ohio. And as far as the talent and why we have a crabs in a bucket mentality, unfortunately, man, we just don't see a lot of success here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes us, not us, you know what I'm saying? Because obviously with the podcast right now, obviously with myself, it's a lot of people that got ambition and drive and going to get there.
Yeah.
But in the world that we live in, you know, it's like a monkey see, monkey do type of mentality. So if one person sees someone thriving and being successful, then that might spark them to be like, you know what, I can be successful. But if they also see someone not thriving and not being successful, then they might get caught up in that, oh man, it ain't gonna happen. So we don't see a lot of success here. And when we do see a lot of success here, we busy trying to live a certain type of a life and a certain type of an image that, you know, we're not being true to ourselves.
I think too many people get so caught up in the image.
Exactly.
It's the image that you see.
Right.
It's the process that you missed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You see where they at.
Right. But you don't know where they come from.
You see what it come from. Yeah. You see what it took to get here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so many people like, I want this. I want to do that. I'm a prime example of that to a degree. I could have an idea all the time.
Right.
What it's going to take to get to the million. What it's going to take to get to the legacy. What it's going to take to get me working out my 12, my 6 to 6.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever the case is. And at the end of the day, it's you're basing it off of where you see somebody at day 100.
Right.
Not at day one.
Right.
Day one was a struggle.
Right.
And I'll be honest, like people, you know, they'll listen to the podcast and stuff, and that's great.
Yeah.
But they don't know it took me a year.
Right.
You know, it took me a year. Before I did this, I was doing a blog,
mm-hmm.
and it was on guns and stuff because I'm really into the gun culture and stuff like that.
Right.
But I realized I was missing out on so much information.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, man, it's hard to write every day about this stuff. There's mm-hmm. always all this other stuff that people writing out that get more information, or the information I'm putting out, they put out, you know, last year, two right. years ago. And so, did it matter? Not necessarily, because somebody else would have been like, cool, you know, push through. For me, it was, okay, but there's also so much more to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Than just guns. I love guns and stuff like that. And let me be clear about that. The safety and of guns and how people are supposed to have them. Not
right.
just loving guns, shooting them in the air. Nah, I'm totally with teaching people the safety and, you know, procedures of what it means to have a gun and stuff like that. So
right.
that's what I loved about it. But I also know that, you know, I love music. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
I love
conversations. I
yeah.
love talking about politics. I love talking about what's going to help us in the Black community.
Right.
I love what's talking about what's going to help us as America. You know what I'm saying? I love talking about all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I need to figure out something else to do. I don't feel like typing all that.
Yeah.
So me being who I am, listening to Gary Vee and all that stuff, like start a podcast.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool. I started a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I started a podcast. Hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Hated it.
Hated
like, because
it?
Because he has it from where he's talking about start a podcast on this app called Anchor. And actually, that's where this platform is. It uploads. But I knew it wasn't being done the way I wanted it to be done.
Okay.
So it was like, man, nah, I want the mics. I want the mixer. I want the headphones. I want the image. I want all that. And I'm not there. But at day one, you wasn't supposed to have all that.
Right.
You ain't got the money for that. You know, how you supposed to get all that? Okay, cool. So I got to figure it out. I got to keep coming up with conversations. I got to keep linking with people. Yo, this podcast coming out. Developed a whole Instagram page for all that.
Right.
Man, for months, nothing was posted. But
right.
I still had in my mind, this going to happen. It's going to happen.
Right.
And sad to say, one of the best things that could have happened for me to have this,
mm-hmm.
coronavirus.
Right.
That was the best thing that could have happened for me to have this, because it provided me with funds to be able to go get it.
Right.
You know, it provided me with funds, and everything was on sale.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't have, I got the creme de la creme for a start.
Right.
Where this going to be probably in the next 6 months and a year, man, this stuff going to be laid out.
I see that.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm going to tell you something.
You can't neglect day one.
You can't. And you want to know what else, man? We mentioned his name earlier, man. It's crazy. It's so crazy. And that's why, again, man, I'm very honored and I'm very privileged to be a part of this podcast right now, because you don't realize how valuable a person is until they gone. That's not the type of person that I am. I want to give people the flowers while they still here. Yeah. So going back to Nipsey, it's all a marathon.
Yeah,
Nipsey probably didn't even understand what he was instilling in people when he came up with that slogan. So right now, it's all about progressing. And like you said, day one is now day what? I don't know. This might be day one, 374. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. Because when did we have a conversation?
Man, that conversation
months
was
ago.
6 to 9 months.
Months ago, we had a conversation.
We was on the 10th floor.
You know what I'm saying? 10th floor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just you know, chatting it up.
Yeah.
You know, just talking
real stuff. And I remember you told me about this, man.
Yeah.
I remember.
That
and
was
I just months, told you.
I ain't having none of this.
Yeah.
But I knew.
It's beautiful, man.
I knew.
It's beautiful.
I knew. I didn't care if I had to bring it to you. You come to me, whatever the case is. At the end of the day, somebody gonna hear the voice.
Somebody's gonna hear the voice, and one day they're gonna be like, the gray pot. What is it called? The gray area. The gray area.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be like, man, I remember when it started.
Oh, yeah.
And now, like I said, I'm watching my man on television. That's my man. I know him for real. Like that's what it's gonna be.
But see, the thing about that is like everybody got to start like this. One of the things about the coronavirus concerning everything is it didn't matter how much money you had,
right?
It put everybody at an equal playing level.
Yep.
Everybody had to stay home to a degree. Everybody had to do whatever they had to do to figure out how to get to the next day properly. Everybody had to figure out how they was going to get their money. Everybody had to figure out every, you know, little thing as far as progression and how they was going to get it. It put everybody at the same playing level.
Right, for sure, bro. And I agree with that statement. One thing that I appreciate the coronavirus for, man, it allowed you to spend time with your family.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, this was a big thing, and I'm real serious on this.
It sucked for me, though. I caught it.
Oh, man, that was horrible.
I heard about that.
Yeah, I heard about that, man. I was hurting. I was like, my man, you know, I hadn't seen him in a while. And when I heard about it,
man, it hit me hard. Two months. I had PTSD from that.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Man,
I can believe it, man.
Hard.
And like you said, it caused you to save some money. You know, saving some money is very vital.
Yeah,
that's another thing in a black community, man. We got to learn finances, man. We got to learn financial literacy, man, and how important it is to really save a dollar. You know, it's not even about the image.
Learn how to save a dollar. Learn how to recycle a dollar. Learn how to make sure it's still going through your community.
Not even dollars, pennies.
You know what I'm saying?
Pennies, nickels,
all of that.
Quarters, dimes, all of it.
All of it.
All of it. People, you know what, man? I kid you not, man. I could be in a hallway. I can be at a gas station. I could be walking down the street. I see a penny, I pick it up. People be laughing at me about that. I never forget one time I was at a gas station and I seen about 4 or 5 pennies. And this little dude, he started laughing at me. He was a young dude. Man, you picking up pennies, man. What's wrong with you? You picking up pennies? I looked him dead in his eye. I was dead serious. And I said, let me ask you a question. If you got $1 billion and I got $1 billion and 7 cents, who richer?
Ooh.
And that's just how I live my life, ooh, man. You know what I'm saying?
Because I decided to pick up the penny.
Man, who richer?
Who richer?
You know, it's you tripping. You walking past some pennies. I'm going to pick them up.
Because
guess what? That penny going to one day turn into a nickel. That nigga gonna turn into a dime. The dime gonna turn into a quarter, and so forth.
That's facts.
And that's the truth. You
that's
know,
facts. So, I wanted to also talk about this whole 50 and T.I. thing. You've been listening to it.
I've been listening to it. I'm familiar
with. Matter of fact, Rick Ross and
2 Chainz
did a little. What was it? The
Versus. Mm-hmm.
Did you listen to it?
I did, man. I did.
Who you think had the bangers?
Come on, man. Hey, listen. Both of them is incredibly amazing artists, man.
Yeah.
Both of them is incredibly amazing artists, but man, Rick Ross just has.
He's Rick got Ross a just, plethora.
He has a elite catalog. He has an elite catalog. Now, 2 Chainz got great music. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Ross has boss music. When I listen to Rick Ross, he makes me feel like I'm rich.
See here, look, I was listening. You watch Netflix?
I do.
What's that show on there with Cardi B, T.I., Chance the Rapper?
Rap, Was it rap music?
You know what I'm talking about.
I know. I think it's called the rap music.
Central America.
Yeah, D-Smoke from the West Coast. Yeah, he won.
So there was a fat dude on there who he tried to do his thing, right? Uh-huh. One thing that Cardi B says is, you got bars, but you're not like Rick Ross. Rick Ross, he rap, he make me want, you know, he that top fat boy out here.
Right.
So if you're going to be fat, you gotta bring it.
Right.
Rick Ross didn't, for years,
he's been killing
years.
It. He's been killing it, man.
Even, he 50 was talking about his BMF. We was just talking about Black Mafia music. To BMF, he said, I might have to, and you know all the beef they got, I might have to talk with my man.
How can he not?
You know what I'm saying?
Single BMF, need that for the show.
But then, you know, Ross responded. He was like, I'll let you put it on there.
But I'm a profit off of it.
You gotta go to Wingstop, go get you some lemon pep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And a bottle of rosé.
You gotta hold that Bel Air bottle real high.
Hold that boy high.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But okay, so we got Ross on the winning, but you know, shouts out to 2 Chainz.
Come on, man. Titty
Two
Boy, Chainz, man. That boy wasn't playing.
Out to 2 Chainz.
That boy been, man, he don't play.
No, he don't.
He don't play. And I've been familiar with Titty Boy, man, since this Disturbing the Peace days, but I think his big break came. You know, sometimes you have artists, man, that will have certain lines and they have certain songs, and it doesn't matter what you're doing, it's gonna stop you in your tracks. Mm-hmm. And obviously, 2007, everybody knows that song. Everybody knows Duffel Bag. I forgot what I was doing. I think I was cleaning up or something. I just heard the beat so hot, the flow is so ice cold. Walking to the Gucci store, honey, I'm home. I was like, what? That stopped me, bruh. That stopped me. He said, I walk into the Gucci store, honey, I'm home. I need a pamper on. I was like, wow, this man not playing right now. So, yeah, shout out to that boy, 2 Chainz, man. He been killing the game.
He bought it.
He got a classic album, too, man. I think Based on a True Story is a very much so classic album. That's what I think.
I don't necessarily remember everything about Based on a True Story.
Based on a True Story was, I Love Them Strippers. It was that.
Oh, yeah.
What else did he have on there? Yeah, I Love Them Strippers. He had No Lie with Drake. He had some stuff, man. He had some stuff.
Had to set something up
for
real
sure.
quick. But
sure.
So 50 and T.I.
Man, that'll be a hard one.
50 and T.I.
But nah, we gotta speak actual factuals. So if we gonna speak actual factuals, then man, I'm gonna have to go with Tip on this one. I'm gonna have to go with Tip.
Funny thing is, I was gonna say the same thing.
Were you?
I was gonna say the same thing.
Okay, good.
Tip, Get Rich or Die Trying.
Classic.
Burned America down.
Yes, it did.
And other countries, bruh.
Yes.
I remember when that came out, man. When he came out with the working out video,
right?
You know, Go Shorty, and that thing came on. I think honestly, that's what really got me into rap.
50. Yeah, yeah.
Like 50, heavy.
50 is just amazing, man.
I grew up in a Christian household.
For
you
sure.
Know, you know, they was like, I don't even want you listening to that.
You can't listen to that. Yeah.
You know, but every kid gonna find out what he can find out.
That
you
Walkman,
know,
that CD
watch,
player.
Watch something when parents ain't home, and BET Jams.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Was it BET Jams or MTV Jams? I think it was MTV
Jams. MTV Jams.
But it was on BET though. It was on BET something. And I remember that song came on.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing him rapping, seeing him working out.
Or TRL or something like that was
something
MTV.
Like that.
Yeah.
See, with Tigger.
Oh, Big Tigger? The Basement?
Might have been The Basement.
Yeah, that's BET.
Something else. But I saw the music video.
Mm-hmm.
And it was then when I was like, I like rap.
Yeah. Hey, man, funny thing about that, I never forget my homeboy. His name was Bino. He was from down the way, man. He was from 30th. And we used to be in school. He used to talk about 50 Cent all the time.
Yeah.
Now, you got to remember, this 01, 02. So I'm on my Houston thing. You know, ain't nobody in the world better than a Chamillionaire to me. And he just used to keep talking about him. 50 Cent. Man, and Wankster end up coming out. And oh, I was like, goodness. Oh, man, this is who that dude been talking about. Because I didn't know who 50 Cent was, honestly. And when Wankster came out, it was over with for me.
21 Questions.
Amazing.
Man, Get Rich or Die Trying the album.
Classic,
we,
man.
We ain't had a time where we literally just play albums straight through.
You know the last time I did that? 2013. Drake. Nothing was the same.
Drake is another one who has had some album. But, okay. So, you brought up Drake.
Mm-hmm.
We already agreed it's T.I. We gonna touch back on T.I.
Right.
Because T.I.
T.I., man, we could talk about T.I. a lot. It's a lot to T.I., man.
Yeah.
It's a lot to T.I.
Okay. T.I., I mean, just didn't care.
Right.
He was that 5'9 with the soul of a 6'4 nigga type
five
dude.
5'9, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
For
and,
sure.
And the bars that he put out, monumental bars, like you remember them.
I'm a king. Seen standing with some cold killers. I ain't never backed down or ran from no nigga. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Tim.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
The dude put out stuff that just you just had to remember. You had no choice.
He has a lot of monumental lines in hip hop, man. You
have no choice.
You sell a lot of records. I respect it and salute that.
Man.
But speaking real life on hot beats, I'm the truth at. Tip don't play, man.
Bruh.
Paper Trail is a classic album.
Yes, it is.
That's a classic
King
album.
King was a classic.
King is an urban legend.
Legend, you know, T.I. versus T.I.P.
Honestly,
I think the fact that T.I. versus T.I.P.
Yeah, I hated the whole alter ego thing. I just didn't like it. And his single, the first single off of it, I wasn't crazy about.
I think I just like the concept that this man was willing to put it all out there.
Yeah.
He was really like, I'm this is who I am, this is who people know me as.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, you gonna listen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that was the biggest thing I liked about it. But see, right now we just named off
some records, some serious
whole
joints.
Albums.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that with 50. I'm doing
Nope.
The Massacre and Get Rich or Die Trying.
That's it.
And The Massacre wasn't that raw.
The Massacre wasn't that raw, man.
Had Candy Shop off that bad boy, and that was it.
And you know what? I didn't like the singles at all. I didn't care for Candy Shop. I didn't care for Disco Inferno.
Candy Shop put me in the place.
I liked the other records.
That's why I like Black Women.
I liked the other records. I like that I'm supposed to die tonight. You know, I like I'm supposed to die tonight. A Baltimore Love thing. Position of power. Things of that nature is what I liked on that. In My Hood. But I see what you're talking about Candy Shop. Yeah. You know, ain't nothing like a Black woman. You know, and he definitely had a lot of that going on.
The problem was he had the main Black woman that he didn't get.
Yeah.
Sorry, he didn't get Olive.
Yeah,
he didn't get Olive, and I was rooting for him. I like, bro.
Yeah, Liv. I like to live with G Unit. I liked it.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
For sure, man. We see eye to eye, man.
See eye to eye. Now, here's another Atlanta rapper that monumental bars,
mm-hmm.
but I think took the political activism spot.
Are you talking about Killer Mike? I knew it, man. See, we on the same page.
Killer Mike.
Great minds think alike.
That's my guy.
He's phenomenal.
But when you listen to his music too.
Yeah. I like him with the Runner Jewels projects
Runner
and stuff.
Runner Jewels. Yeah. See, I know, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I listen to him talk about it.
Yeah.
But anytime I think about it to listen to it, I can't never think of the name.
What is it?
Run the Jewels.
Yeah, Run the Jewels.
Every time I'll be on my phone, I'll be like, Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, Run the what? What am I looking up?
Yeah.
And then I get tired.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking so hard. I don't even want to look it up. But yeah, man, he's another dude, monumental man who, mm-hmm. you know, what was that? When him, T.I. and Bun B.
Mm-hmm. Pledge of Allegiance record?
No. It was
Killer Mike, Tip and Bun B.
It was.
That's a monumental, man. Bun B?
Oh, people don't know that though.
Man, Bun B is one of the greatest to ever touch a microphone, man. I mean, just some of the things that Bun say and how he say it, man. I said it before. You know, things of that nature, man.
So one of the things that jump started 50 mm-hmm. and T.I. was the South versus New York.
Okay.
As far as the culture changing, as mm-hmm. far as, you know, we get it. Mm-hmm. Rap started New York
for sure.
We can't take that away from them.
For sure,
we understand that.
For sure,
but outside of Jay, Nas, Biggie, I'm not putting P. Diddy up there. Just not.
Of course, you're not gonna put Puff up there.
This man said Drake was in the top 10, top 5.
Puff said that.
Yeah, he did. Look it up on IG. Something wrong. After he came up with Tootsie Roll.
Man, it's gonna be so many different top fives and stuff. No, we ain't gonna put Puff up there. But New York has some crazy lyricists, man.
Oh man,
we gotta talk about the LLs.
Cassidy,
Philly,
who never made it like big, but
he from Philly though.
Oh, he's from Philly.
Cassidy, yeah,
Cassidy is from Philly.
Yep, we got the LLs, man. We gotta talk about the KRS-Ones, the Rakims, the Big Daddy Kanes. And that's old school, but if you're talking about like our type of speed of rappers, 50 Cent is up there. You know what? The game has changed, man. Jadakiss, he's from Yonkers, DMX.
Yeah.
The whole D Block, Styles P. Yeah. Fabulous. One of the most underrated. You know,
why?
Why is Fab underrated? Okay. Fab is underrated because Fab is amazing at making records for the women. He don't always cater to the streets mainstream. Yeah. I think the one time that Fab catered to the streets on the mainstream was Breathe.
Yeah.
That's the one time I could say he catered to the streets. Because his catalog mostly consists of records for the women. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to talk about mixtapes and underground cuts, oh, we can go years with that, but the problem with that is we live in a world now where it's so many people doing music, and a person is somebody just dropped a mixtape right now, and I guarantee you in about 2.5 hours they're gonna drop another one. So it's so much music, you kind of get it's oversaturated.
Yeah,
it's oversaturated, and unfortunately, man, his bars is phenomenal, right? Yeah. But his beat selection isn't always the greatest.
No.
Yeah, his beat selection isn't always the greatest.
That's music.
I'm sure you can get to them to a degree. Like with Nas. Nas got an album that's about to get ready to come out next Friday. He hooked
Nas
up.
Nas got an album?
Yes, he does.
Coming
he,
out next.
He hooked up with
2020?
Yes. 8/21, August 21st. Nas. And guess who he hooked up with, who produced the album entirely? Hit Boy.
I was about to say, not Jay-Z.
Yeah, no, Hit-Boy. And he has a record out right now. It's called, what is it called? Ultra Black. That's his single right now. It's really dope. It's really refreshing, man. It's really refreshing. It's amazing, man.
Who won that Ether?
Who won? Listen, I'm not being politically correct. I'm just telling the truth.
Okay.
I think Jay killed him, man.
Did he?
I think Jay killed him, man. I'm going to tell you why I think Jay killed him. I know music is entertaining.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be entertained. But I'm just always going to go with real every time, bro.
But if you go with real, you got to go with this fact that Jay kind of stole his style to a degree.
He was inspired by
him.
He was inspired by Nas. I can say that. You know, but my thing is, Ether spent a lot of time trying to be funny. And trying to tell jokes as opposed to Jay really told truth, you know. And a lot of people like, oh, you taking it too far, you doing this and you doing that, but that's just who I am. You know, you gotta investigate facts, man. So like, okay, on Ether, he said in 88 you was getting chased in your building, calling my crib, and I ain't even give you my number, right? Well, that's false. Because everybody knows in 1988 Big Daddy Kane was running the game at that time. Jay-Z used to be a roadie for Big Daddy Kane. So I don't know what was going on. I wasn't there, but I mean, he made it seem like in 1988 he was so much of the man that Jay-Z was trying to run behind him. I don't believe that. I believe Jay-Z was getting his foot wet. Jay-Z was already getting exposed and being introduced into the industry. So when Nas making a statement like that, it's just like, come on, man, now you're trying to sell it. You know, and it just I just wasn't buying it. He also said on there, he said, "You ass, you went from hanging with Kane to Irv to Big." So Nas told on himself right then and there, "You went from hanging with Kane to Irv to Big." So my thing is, you know, he kind of, what's the word I want to use?
Embellished.
Not even embellished, bro. It's when you, he contradicted himself.
Contradicted.
He contradicted himself.
Heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's heavy. Do you think that's why we ain't heard from Nas?
We have heard from Nas.
I mean, we've heard from him. Yeah, he did he did the, what was that song he did back in like 2003?
Got Yourself a Gun or Made You Look.
He did those in 2003?
Yeah.
He did another one with, like, it was like the,
I Know I Can. Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but Nas have had some stuff after that, you know what I'm saying? Even, it wasn't really the best body of work, but back in 2018, Kanye West produced his last album. It was called Nasir with the 7 songs. Remember when Good Music was coming out with these albums?
I ain't know about that.
Yeah, yeah. He had an album called Nasir. It was like 7 songs on it. Kanye West produced it entirely, but it wasn't that good, man. And that's a disappointment because, you know, Nas and Kanye has done music in the past. But Kanye, you know.
What's going on with Kanye right now?
Lost. He lost. And it hurts, man. You know, it hurts because Kanye, when he first came, man, Kanye West is probably one of these most amazing producers in the world.
Yeah.
Now, as an artist, I feel like Kanye West is mediocre. I think he's good enough. But I don't think he's just phenomenal like everyone be saying that he is. You know, Kanye West got 3 back-to-back, I want to say, 4.
He killed 50 in that one time.
Kanye West, I agree with that statement. He killed 50. Kanye West, I believe, has at least 5 classic albums. His first 3 albums are classics for sure.
What was the Pablo one?
Nah, that was pretty bad to me. It was okay. That was 2016. So when Kanye first came out, 2004, The College Dropout. Classic. You agree?
Classic.
Okay, the next year, 2005, Late Registration. Classic.
Didn't listen to it.
No? I ain't saying she a gold digger.
I listened to the song.
Okay.
Song,
you ain't listen to the album? Touch the Sky?
Classic.
And I heard him say, "Nothing's ever promised tomorrow, mm-hmm. today," all that. That's Late Registration. That's a classic album.
Okay.
Drive Slow, Homie.
You Never Know, Homie.
Come on, man. Late Registration. Classic.
Okay.
And then you get the 3rd album. The one, like you just said, when he killed 50 on. Graduation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Flashing Lights.
Yeah, yeah.
Stronger.
Yeah. No doubt.
He was killing it on that one, man. What else did he have on that album? Another, like we always do with this time. That one. Yeah. The Good Life.
Yeah.
Those are 3 back-to-back albums.
Yeah.
College Dropout, 2004. Late Registration, 2005. Graduation, 2007. But his mother passed away that year. And that's when Kanye started to get a little different.
A little notchy.
Yeah. But he came out with 808s and Heartbreak after that. I think that's a classic album. A little different, but I think it's a classic album. And then right after that, My Beautiful Dark and Twisted Fantasy. That is a classic album.
I didn't listen to that.
No?
No.
Monster with Nicki Minaj, when Nicki was first coming through and everything like that. Let's Have a Toast for the Douchebags, all that. That album is phenomenal.
Yeah.
When you get some free time, go back and listen to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. It's a scary album. Or it's a dark album. I ain't going to say it's scary. Okay. That's when you can see the difference in Kanye changing.
Yeah. Yeah, Kanye has rubbed me so different in the entirety of his career. He's a dude who, when I listen to him, it's like it's something else there. I hear it, but I don't.
Yeah,
I can see how he's different, but I don't see why I appreciate. I appreciate his music. I just don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just one of those cats to me who, when I hear it, it's like, yeah, I'm listening to it. But I'm not thinking about going to listen to it.
Okay.
But I remember it.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? He's a Drake, but a little bit more in depth. Drake is just a dude who I think he just creates music for the time.
You think so?
I don't think Drake goes down in the history of great rappers.
No.
One because we don't ever know what this dude is. Is he gonna sing or is he gonna rap? Which one are you gonna do?
I personally love that about him. I love people who know how to, I wish I knew how to do that, bro. I can't. Like the Chameleonaires, the Drakes. I'm talking about people who can really rap and harmonize with it. I love that, man. I love it.
But don't know, man.
I love it, bro.
I don't know, man.
Drake got bars, though, man. And I see what you're saying about...
No. The ghostwriter for Drake got bars.
You know what? Now, that's a touchy subject.
Meek Mill got bars.
Okay, now listen. I'm familiar with the Quentin Miller situation, but I will say this.
Is that who his ghostwriter was?
That's who his ghostwriter was, this guy out of Atlanta.
How much do these ghostwriters be getting paid?
Yeah, you never really know. It's a lot of money. Puff ghostwriter back in the day used to be this guy. His name was Smitty. He was from Miami. Uh-huh. And he actually had a record back then. The single was called Diamonds on My Neck, Diamonds mm-hmm. on My yeah. Neck. Swiss Beats produced it. Yeah. But man, they get a knot, man. But I don't think that everything that Drake has done was ghostwritten. I just don't. I believe around 2014 is when it started. And that was the mixtape. If you're reading this, it's too late. But you gotta think, when Drake first came out, he came out with Thank Me Later.
Then
he came out with Take Care. Then he came out with Nothing Was the Same. And believe it or not, those are probably looked at as, I say, at least two. Most people don't think that Drake's first album is a classic.
Wait, November 18th on that?
That was So Far Gone mixtape.
So Far Gone mixtape.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah. So I think...
I don't remember... See, I don't remember Drake's music today like I remember So yeah, Far Gone.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if we're going to talk facts,
yeah,
So Far Gone was the first time I got high.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
College...
Yeah,
me and my dude was driving, and he used to do it. I was an athlete in school, so like I ain't doing that. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Plus, I ain't trying to go home high. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, we listening to it, and he was like, "This deserves a Kush blunt," mm-hmm. and I was like, "What?" And he rolled up the window.
Yeah.
Over with.
Yeah.
2 days.
Yeah.
High.
Zooted.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Nothing else to talk about.
Man, I wish I could relate. You know, I never took a smoke a day in my life.
I'm so proud of you, man.
Yeah, man. Never
you
took
give
a
me,
smoke.
You give me so much hope.
Never took a smoke, never took a drink, man. I'm you probably a square from Delaware to some people.
Hey, but you give me something. Then where we work?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't understand how you do it.
Man, I just high off this drug called life, man. You know, I stay
That's
on my knees.
Drug
I stay
in and of itself.
I got a good support system, man. My girl, man, she keeps me motivated. My children, my
Shouts
mother.
Out.
We come from a spiritual family, you know.
Okay.
My grandmother and them, they raised me, man.
How they feel about the album?
You know what? They love it. But
really?
But I'm gonna tell you what the biggest backlash from the album was.
Okay.
The biggest backlash that I received from the album, it was a little vulgar.
That's what I was saying. Like yeah. how you get like how you manage that?
Well, when I was writing it, man, I really didn't think it was that much, you know. I didn't know that it was that much. I was just writing what I was feeling.
Yeah.
And they love it. My grandmother, my mother, my girl mother. I got a lot of mothers, man, you know, because I say I got about four. And I know it sounds crazy to people, but this is what I mean. So listen, my biological
I'll tell you what,
mother.
Before you start, it don't sound crazy to me.
No, okay, good. I'm glad you understand me, bro.
Don't
my
sound
biological
crazy.
Mother,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I don't want to have a typical struggle story, but this is the truth. This is my story, man. Unfortunately, you know, my mother got involved with drugs real heavy, still on drugs to this day. So I didn't get raised with my mother. I got raised with my mother's only sister and my grandmother. So my mother who birthed me is obviously my mother, but my aunt, that's my mother.
Yeah.
You know, my grandmother would be like my father, but she's a woman. So obviously I just call her mine. That's my mother, you know. And then my girl's mother, you know, is my mom. So I got four mothers, man. I'd be very broke around Mother's Day, man.
Bruh, listen, your story is nothing but understandable. In
yeah.
my life, I'm adopted three times
okay.
over.
Okay.
Twice. So I was adopted as a kid. My biological mom, shouts out to her for not aborting me. Don't
right.
know her.
Right.
I have a beautiful mother who raised me.
Okay.
We went through the trenches, and through the trenches of that relationship, I found myself homeless, and somebody else took me in.
Wow.
And so it's just one of those things where it's just like, man, God got a type of life he's got planned for you. You know what I'm saying? Even in a good book, it say, you know, he knows the thoughts he has towards you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's the plans of, you know, good, yeah. You know, not evil. So,
oh man, that's
you
crazy.
You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where it's just like, man, you didn't get here knowing how, you know, you was going to relate to people. You didn't get here knowing and just waiting to pick your relationships, man. God had that plan. So they were strategically here for you, man. So
yeah.
But I definitely get the Mother's Day thing.
For sure.
Because I get in trouble. I be contradicting myself. I be like, man, I hope they don't look at that person over there because I had to do, you know what I'm saying? Or this year is going to be rough. Everybody getting a car because I ain't got it. You know what
for
I'm saying?
Sure.
I know exactly what you mean.
For bro. Sure. For
Real
sure.
stuff. Bro. So that's what's up, man. But yeah, man. Anything else you wanted to say about your album? You got any other albums coming out?
Yeah, man. First of all, like I said, man, The Opposite of a Lie, that's the name of my album, man. And,
yeah.
You know, you got to forgive me, man. I'm not really a social media type of person.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk, because your girl is not for it.
She on it, man. But
why
but
are you not on social media?
Man, you know what, man? In all honesty, man.
You got to get your stuff on Apple Music, man.
It's going to get there. It's going to get there. It's a lot of things that I went through mentally.
Okay.
No crazy stuff, but it's just a lot of things that I went through mentally. My music has taken a long road because I play guinea pig on myself. You know, I'm not the type of person to allow someone to handle the business for me unless I know how to do it myself. Now, I can put it on someone else later, but I need to know it first. I'm not on social media for a couple of different reasons, man. Number one, my biggest thing is I just believe that the world has just been consumed by social media. I think this podcast and our conversation that we're having right now is such a beautiful thing because it's personal. I'm talking to you, looking you in your eye as a man. We're having real conversations as opposed to the phone doing it for us. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes we busy. We in life. We got things we got to do. We're going to have to utilize these phones. Sometimes somebody can be trying to call me right now and I got to tell them, hey, man, I'm doing a podcast right now. I can communicate while I'm speaking. I can use the text form.
Yeah.
So that's great. But social media has just taken conversation away from people. It's taken, it's given instant gratification.
Yeah.
A lot of people just be really faking and doing the most for social media. You know, they make it seem like their life is just oh so great. They don't got no worries. They got the best life. They driving the best cars. They got the greatest house. And then when you see them in real life, it's not that.
It ain't that.
As crazy as it sound, I would rather someone see me in real life and be like, Josh really living like that. You know, I got a record on my album. It's called I Know. You know, Lil Mama say she like me and I just say I know. I pulled up in that Benz. She say she want to go.
Matter of fact,
yeah,
that's the one.
Yeah.
You got to turn that into a banger banger.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that.
Into a banger
I'm going to do that. So with that being said, you know, I'm not just rapping about that. When you see me, I will be in a Mercedes.
Yeah.
I do own a Mercedes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I ain't paying no note on it. And that's no disrespect to people that's paying notes. But what I'm just saying is because I had a note, it was a note, I paid it off. But what I'm trying to say is I try to be as authentic as possible. And I just don't believe that social media gives that off all the time. But I do have an understanding that I control that, or the people who I delegate to those duties can control that. You know, I just want them to be authentic as much as possible.
Yeah.
But I'm working up, you know, my courage and things of that nature. And then another thing, man, you know, I'm a human, man. So I got thick skin. Working where we work, I got thick skin. But at the same time, music, podcasts, clothing, all type of things that people put their blood, sweat, and tears into, and people don't know those days.
Yeah.
It's a very hurtful and challenging feeling when, you know, you put something up and, you know, you got somebody sitting behind a keyboard or somebody, you know, just talking negative for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have thick skin. You have to just keep on persevering and keep on pushing forward because, you know, nobody control your destiny but you. So, you know, that can be discouraging at times. You know, I set up and I worked on this song for 3 weeks straight and I finally got it and I uploaded and then you got people just saying, oh, this is whack. This is garbage. This is this. And that hasn't happened to me, but I know it can and it will. You know, I'm not going to make everything that everybody like. It's going to be some records that people going to love. It's going to be some records that people might dislike, but I'm going to just keep on going.
That's facts, man. Well, I appreciate you. We've been on here for a good amount of time.
Yeah, we got to do this again.
Got to definitely do it again, man. We're going to definitely do it again.
Yeah.
One last thing I just thought about while you was talking was, you know, we both worked a job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No doubt you want more in your life.
For sure.
You know, so what does it mean to you to constantly be going after it? outside of the job. You go into the job. We work 12-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We you know, we in a stressful environment, and then to say, hey, yo, once I'm done with this weekend or tonight when I get off, I'm gonna go into the studio or I'm gonna write down some music, you know, and I'm gonna wait for something to hit. I'm gonna keep pushing after it. What does that mean to you?
All we got in life, man, is hopes and dreams. That's all we got. So if I can just know, like, you know what, man, I do work. I am in a relationship. I am a father. I am a son. I got many different hats to me, but I still got my dreams, man. It gives me that drive to just keep on going, man, because I believe in myself. I believe in my dream. I believe that it's going to come. I just got to continue to put the work in, man. And one of the things that helped me do that is this book, man. I want you to read this book whenever you get a chance, man. 50 Cent got this book out. It's called Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter. Man, that book just did so many wonders for me, man. My girl bought me this book a minute ago. It's called All You Need to Know About the Music Business for Dummies. I love that book. That book has helped me a tremendous amount, man. So the thing that keeps me going, man, is just knowing that I got a dream, man, and I'm trying to chase my dream. And shout out to my girl, man. Shout out to Boy Mompreneur. That's her YouTube page. Make sure y'all follow that and check that out and subscribe to it when y'all get a chance, man. And my girl, she's a business owner herself, man. She has an all-boys boutique. It's for boys that are from the ages of being infants to 12 years old. It's called Little King's Closet. It's amazing, man. It's amazing. And I guess Nipsey just on my heart, man, because he's such an inspiration to me, man. But the head designer of the Marathon Clothing, that's her head designer for her clothing company.
Oh.
So she went out to the West Coast, man, and made that connection, man. So it's all about that's connections, up, man.
You got to make those connections.
For sure,
man. That's why you got to get on social media.
You're right about that. I'm going
to
get
just,
it, man.
Just to a degree, man. Even if you get on it and you just let your lady
I'm gonna do
you
it, know,
handle
man.
The business for you.
Hey, man, the gray area. I believe in the dream of the gray area. I believe in Josh as an artist. Little King's Closet as a boutique. Yeah. And everybody else, man. Cleveland born, Cleveland raised. Yeah. And not just Cleveland, all around the world, man. Yeah. So I'm honored. And again, I thank you for allowing me to be on this podcast, man.
Thank you
I
so
look
much.
Forward to where it's going to be in the future. I know it's going to be big.
Oh, man.
And I'm grateful that I'm a part of the story, man.
We're coming to take over.
For sure.
Man, we appreciate you on here, man. Once again, if you're listening, click that button. Click the like button.
Please
do. If you're on Spotify, follow.
Please.
Subscribe. Some of it's going to be on YouTube. If you're looking on IG, the Gray Area Podcast, Facebook. Man, if you know somebody who wants to be on, let us know. This is the Gray Area Podcast. We'll holler at you again.